what an outstanding lesson this morning on children and obedience. And I happened to witness the Bible drill this evening, and we are so blessed with such good children here. The Bible classes, parents do a good job with making sure that they're faithfully attending classes, and we are really blessed here with such good children. And that's my plan this afternoon, is to stay on the same topic and in the home, and I've prepared a message for us dads. And I think also it's a privilege that we have here with such good godly men, good homes that we have. And I believe that the things that I have to say not only can benefit us as fathers, but potential future fathers, for mothers that, for whatever reason, various reasons, have to fulfill some of the responsibilities that fathers should be demonstrating. And for those wives that support their husbands in the father role. I think this is an important topic, and one that is viewed different in many different ways in our society. In a standard from our unbelieving people that are around us, as the Bible describes, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So men, for the next few minutes, just please listen as we study together from the Holy Word of God and our responsibilities to our Heavenly Father that we have. My basis for what I want to share this afternoon is what the Scriptures teach us, as well as, and I will say this humbly, from my own personal experiences as a father, including learning from my own mistakes and my shortcomings. One thing that we as parents are told, that children don't come with a handbook, and that's true. You know, you don't have a step-by-step manual, although we could go over to the bookstore or look online, and there's lots of experts that would be willing to sell us how-to parent books, right? But I do believe that through the blessings that we have through the Holy Word of God, we do have a handbook on how to raise our children and in our homes. I think, first of all, it's important for us to understand, with everything that we do, why do we do what we do? What's the motivation that we do what we do? And as parents and as fathers, I think the motivation that we have is through love. And this afternoon, I'm going to spend quite a bit of time in the book of Deuteronomy, if you want to be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Yeah, we talked this morning about the need to imitate God, and our Heavenly Father has a lot to share with us on, you know, how to love. And we begin reading in chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Just as God demonstrated his love for his children, and you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." God led them all the years. And he later goes on in verse 5, or verse 3 and verse 4, tells about how he fed them, how he kept their clothes like new, how he delivered them from slavery, how he even brought water from a rock for them. And like any good father, just like we today, we provide for our children food, clothing, shoes, freedom, and water. And both dads and moms alike, we love our children. We don't expect anything in return. Early in their lives, even before they're born, there's that unconditional love. How many parents spend sleepless nights and days concerned about their child? You know, they spend time feeding and cleaning up after them. And not only is there the time investment with our children, but there's the financial investment that goes along with what a child costs. But we never question what we do. We do it because we love our children. And we demonstrate our love by the Word of God, by providing and by teaching. Fathers, we have a commandment to res- to be responsible for our children as spiritual leaders in our homes by providing and by teaching. We can even look at the greatest example that we have, which we should for most of our examples, and that's the life of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, it tells where Jesus developed in four primary areas. He grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, he grew in favor with man, and he grew in favor with God. With wisdom, we understand that he grew mentally in stature with his physical development, with favor with man, with his social development, and favor with God, of course, his spiritual development. What an outstanding example for us on how we should develop before God. And we owe these same opportunities to our children. If we fail in any of these ways, we're failing our children by providing a well-balanced, proportionate development plan. So as Christian fathers, we also must oppose the short-sightedness, the stereotypical perspective from our society on the father. You all have heard, a typical father, I pay for my boys' meals, I give them a place to sleep, what else do you want, expect from me? Well, parents, we need to realize there's a lot that is expected from you, not just physical things. We have to make sure that our children's mental and their spiritual well-being, their character building takes place, as well as the feeding and the clothing for them. And dads, again, if we fail in these regards, God will hold us responsible. So for the next few minutes, I have seven actions that I'd like for us to all consider. First of all, dads, I think it's important that we have a plan. We need to have a plan. Sons and daughters need dads who are thinking about their future. Typically, when we think about future, parents generally think about financial planning, making sure kid has a good financial portfolio, financial investments. And while those are certainly good, they pay dividends for our future. More importantly, good spiritual planning should also be considered, and because this provides for the core beliefs, the character, and helps us grow closer to God. So what specific things should we plan for? We certainly just mentioned the need financial. We need to help them with vocational, with career choices. But much more important or going along with preparing for those career plans, we need to help them find a career that will help them develop their abilities in a way that pleases God, right? And then encourage them in that pursuit. The scriptures teach us in Proverbs 24, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Focus on a home being built on wisdom, the knowledge of the mystery of God, not just on material wealth. Dads, we need to make advisement to our children with their career plans, and including with that, where they're going to live, where they're going to attend school. Is this going to be a good environment, a good situation for my child? Is there going to be a good group of Christians in this town where I live, where I go to school, that I can be encouraged, that I can have the support needed to draw closer to God? Encourage them by staying in touch. Once they do make these choices, then they are living away from home. Visit with them, attend church with them, encourage them to remain faithful. You may remember the account of the righteous man Lot. You remember Lot had a choice to make. He was blessed financially and needed to expand and to move into a new area. And so in doing so, he had to make a choice for his family. He had to move to a location that would support his herd and his flocks, but also a place where his family could be raised. He thought he made a good financial decision at the time. He chose the good land of the Jordan Valley, and it had so much potential prosperity. However, what we find, hindsight, that Lot did not consider the spiritual consequences of this choice. They ended up in the midst of the city of Sodom, and it had an adverse effect on the family. We won't go into a lot of those details at this time. You probably know the story, but it didn't end very well, did it? Innocent motives had terrible consequences for his family, and I'm sure in hindsight, he would have made alternate choices. Secondly, dads, we need to have, or we need to be, the faithful man in our home. You know, the best way that we can influence our children is to be the right example for them, providing spiritual training and leadership in our homes. A survey was conducted, and not surprisingly, it showed predictably that, you know, children view their parents as their role models. More specifically, typically the boys would choose their dad as their role model, and girls choosing their moms. And so, with that being said, it seems obvious that the majority of children acquire those same characteristics as their parents, the ones that they're around. We need to teach our children the scriptures that it says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Our children need to realize that God created billions of individuals with his or her own looks, their own strengths, their own personalities, their own potential. And we can live in confidence knowing that God had a personal hand in our existence. And it's so sad, you know, that children today, there's so many that don't know why they're here. Our ultimate purpose is to love God and to love other people. Jesus put it very clearly, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And that was the first and greatest commandment. The second was love your neighbor as yourself. Fathers, bring up your children in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Pray with them, pray for them. Be the example to your kids that they can see your dedication, your commitment to the Lord. Dads, what a wonderful blessing it is for you to be involved, be active in the church, that you hunger and that you thirst for righteousness. Our kids are perspective. They see us at church. They see us outside of church. They see us in our regular situations, and they pick up on any hypocrisy that might be there. Good fathers also warn their children as well. You know, if we love our children, we're going to warn them about situations that they will face. They're going to have temptations just as we do. And if we shelter them from that, if we don't expose them to that, then they're not going to be prepared for the real life. Satan's going to work to undermine our own efforts, our good efforts. They're going to struggle with pain and with disappointment. And we must prepare them for that. Life's going to be hard at times. There's going to be risks. There's going to be challenges, but they can be prepared to face them. And if we don't talk about these things, we don't teach them these things, then we are being naive. We're failing if we don't warn our children of the realities of life. Going back to our key text again in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God warned the Israelites to be careful. In verse 19, it says, "And it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish." God cautioned them of the temptations, trials, and risk that they will face. Next, dads, we need to provide an environment for success. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If I continue reading in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 10, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and oil and honey, a land where you shall eat food without scarcity, in which you shall not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." God had a great future in mind for the children of Israel. He had brought them into a land with all of these riches in abundance, This was the promised land that he provided for them that would have all that they needed. The same for us today. We want the best for our children. We want them to be better educated, better prepared, better employed than we are. We want them to have the good life. We as fathers also must teach. Fathers must teach and promote independence, confidence, a good work ethic, and discipline with our children. I want to say that as parents, this can be a struggle. In the name of children's safety, you know, we want to protect our children. And not only is growth occurring in the child, growth is occurring in the parents as they get older. We want them to develop in a healthy way. And just, you know, just like when they're young, they're small, we're vigilant, making sure that, you know, that they're under our watchful care. It's important for us to adjust their maturity levels as they get old, to allow them to calculate, allow them to take calculated risk in the maturization process. Unfortunately, we're in a society that believes that anything negative, anything that adverse happens to us is a bad thing. And so the scriptures remind us that what a joy it is to fall into temptation and trials. That kind of testing produces endurance. So we need to allow for a certain amount of independence, and it's part of the development process. Dads, we need to provide life's necessity. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 reads, "For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." All good fathers do this. They realize long before a child can walk, talk, contribute anything productive as far as chores and helping out, that child needs to be provided for, making sure the baby has food, shelter, health care, and so on. We understand the need for sustainment in this life, for us to work to live, to earn income for our family. And the scriptures clearly teach that if we fail in this regards, we're worse than an infidel, we're worse than an unbeliever, a father that does not take care of his children. I recently learned in a obituary that was published of a 25-year-old man, young man, and of course it had all of his achievements and everything. It said he was an entrepreneur, but what was interesting, he left behind 9 children, 25 years old, left behind 9 children. Well, come to find out, these 9 children were all under the assistance of our social welfare system. This is not the kind of providing that a good father should provide to his children. Dads, we need to provide a peaceful family life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21 and Ephesians chapter 6 and 4, they both share with us an important message. Fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. Also, we just read, you know, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. This admonition is found twice here, and this is tough sometimes for us as dads. We're living together in close quarters, especially through the teenage years, the independence that's developing. It can be challenging for all of us. The scriptures, though, teach us not to continue finding fault with everything that they do, that they lose all courage and despair of ever pleasing us. Our children need our praise. They need our encouragement. I know Kim and I always wanted to provide an environment, a home, where our kids felt safe, that they wanted to return after that they left home, that they enjoyed being around. Coincidentally, my third child, my son, came in this evening, so I've got, for the first time, all 3 of my children under the roof with me tonight, and so what a blessing it is to have my kids all back here this weekend as well. You know, some fathers demand respect, but they don't demand it in the right way. They create bitterness. They create discouragement that Paul describes. Faithful fathers can earn the respect from their children by being the right kind of person, by doing the right sort of things, by showing love to their children. Dads, I think it's important for us to be able to connect to our children. We know that as men and women are different, mothers and fathers parent differently as well. It's been said that fathers encourage competition, independence, and achievement, while mothers encourage equity, security, and collaboration. And so parenting daughters and parenting sons are certainly different. As a father of a daughter, you know, we need to consider their needs and be active, creating a healthy relationship. Contrary to what the entertainment industry will teach us and will share with us, fathers are more than just another adult in the house. Dads, we need to provide the protection and the economic stability to our daughters. A good father does things for his daughter that our mother is unable to do. In the first place, he provides her with a good role model, a male role model. Why is this important? Because she sees in him her future husband, one that devotes himself to his mother, one that loves his wife selflessly as Christ loves the church. When he does this, he says in effect, this is how a man should treat a woman. He bolsters her self-esteem and self-confidence. He gives her the solid foundation for lifelong respect. The father example in the right way of how a man treats a woman. And so she understands the difference between appropriate and inappropriate behavior between the sexes. Homes where there's conflict, where there's domestic abuse, is in direct conflict with the Word of God. The father-son relationship. I have sons. How do we dads cultivate a healthy relationship between our sons and us? Men, we're in a position to provide a masculine influence on our sons. We stress justice, fairness, and respect. We teach our sons the objective and consequences of right and wrong. We demonstrate the example of respect to women. We love our wives as Christ loves the church, and in doing so, we show the proper way that a man treats a woman and the importance of boundaries in the male and female relationship. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, I think applies. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which bonds them all together in perfect unity. This describes the love that we need to give our sons and to cultivate in our sons. Communication is important. Communication is important in general, but especially in our homes. And it's something that we all have to work on and need to work on. Fathers, we have to set the bar to make a commitment to communicate, to teach by example, to practice good communication. I think all of us, not only fathers, need to work on listening. We as fathers, we need to listen before we give our opinions. When we make mistakes, Lord knows I've made plenty of mistakes, we need to own up to those mistakes. We need to be repentant to God. We need to ask God forgiveness. We need to show our sons that we are humble before God and that we are men, that we make mistakes, and that we make things right in rebuilding relationships. The courage to admit when we're wrong and seek forgiveness. There's another key factor that I want to mention, and that's showing affection. There's a tendency I kind of grew up around where, men didn't show a lot of affection with one another. But, you know, our sons, they deserve more than a pat on the back or a firm handshake. Give them a hug. Give them several hugs. You know, hug your boys, hug your girls. Fathers, we shouldn't live vicariously through our children. Sons will not always have the same interest as the dads. You know the old saying, just like dad, well, not always that will be the case. Resist that temptation to try to force these kind of values on a son or daughter. We must recognize a child's ability and allow them to develop in their own unique God-given ways. If he's born a musician, don't try to make a great sports hero like you want him to be and and whatever, vice versa, whatever that might be. It's important to make time, dads. We need to make time for children. Back over into Deuteronomy, chapter 6 this time. Chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. It takes time, doesn't it? It takes time. We need to make time, spending quality time with our children. Children may not scream out, "Hey, I want your time," but they long and they hunger for it. Love them. Spend hours with them. God will honor you, and your children will grow up and call you blessed. 2 weeks ago, on Father's Day, that's kind of what got me thinking about this subject tonight, the importance of the father role. I received a gift from my children, and it was a book entitled Say It's So, Papa, Dad, Me, and the 2005 White Sox Championship Season by Ben and David Shapiro. So I've been reading this book, and it talks about the need for 101 time. So I just want to read something I think is relative to our study tonight. It says, one of the greatest beauties of baseball is this. It allows you to talk, or allows you time to talk. Nobody's going anywhere. There's no two-minute drill, no shot clock. It's during this time that you can ask your dad whether he'd give Scott, help me with this, Podsednik, the green light in this situation. It's that time you can ask your dad advice on women, and that time allows you to moan about classes. It's that time that lets you discuss life. Isn't that true? Time is fleeting, and it seems that there's never enough quality time for one another. Going back to my father and daughter discussion relationship, you have a daughter, take time out for her on a regular basis. Spend time attending functions that are important to her. My daughter and I shared a bond together with sports. We were fortunate to do that. We spent no telling how many hours laughing and talking and just spending time with one another, and I'll cherish that, you know, forever. Daughters need to be cherished and affirmed who they are. She needs nurturing and protection. She needs to feel beautiful and understand that her inner beauty is far more important than her outward appearance. She needs the verbal reassurance and appropriate physical touch. She needs to know in her heart that her dad is a man of integrity who keeps his word and follows through on his promises. Meet those needs, and you will do more than prepare her for the challenges of the life in this world. You'll teach her what it means to trust her Heavenly Father, and you'll show her how to present herself to Jesus Christ. We read earlier from the passage in Ephesians, train up a child in the way he should go. By doing so, we're showing our children the way of the Lord, giving practical advice, recommendations according to their inclination, using our time together by spending in God's word, living a good Christian example before your children. You know, our words are important, but our actions speak louder, do they not? So last but not least, this is important. We need to practice discipline. You know, why is discipline important? Why is it an important part of training children? There's got to be guidelines, rules, consequences. Greg talked a little bit about that this morning, the need for children to be obedient to their parents. You know, the problem with discipline in the home is it doesn't require much to become a father, does it? And many don't understand the responsibility. It's important for us to instill a desire to work in our children. This is missing in society. Do you know in the book of Proverbs alone, there are 33 times that laziness is condemned? Laziness brings poverty, it brings shame. And dads, we need to teach the importance of hard work, good work ethic. Respect for authority. How do we respond to authority? Do we respect authority? Learning to submit to authority will teach your son humility and dependence. So when we think about, I want to use a biblical example here of the recorded account of the great King David, King of Israel. He had an impressive, successful resume. Very impressive. He, you know, who doesn't think, when you think of David, think of that courageous young man stepped on the battlefield with that giant Goliath and took him down. That was sort of when he made his name, right? With God's help. He defeated the Philistines. He conquered the city of Jerusalem and renamed it the City of David. Responsible for bringing the ark to Jerusalem, he wiped out all the surrounding nations, the Amalekites, the Philistines, the Moabites, all the surrounding nations around him. He made the great nation of Israel, leading the way for his son Solomon to reign in peace. He was a man of prayer. He prayed to God on behalf of Solomon. He said, "And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision." God made a covenant with David, promising that his throne will last forever. And Samuel and later Paul had this to say in repeating the words of God about David. David was, according to God, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, one who will do all my will." What a wonderful list of accomplishments from David. But we know with all the successes of David, he was a man. He was one, human frailty, captured by lust, burdened with the guilt of adultery and murder, and broken to the point of desperation. He would fall the way of so many, the wise saying, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before the fall." And it's not my place. I certainly don't want to pile on upon David's mistakes and failures. But I think Romans 15, verse 4 tells us that we can learn from others' mistakes. And there's much to learn about David's family. David had at least 19 sons and as many daughters. David allows conflict to go on among the sons that would plunge his family into tragedy. 1 Kings chapter 1 tells us there was a rebellion, and one of his sons, Adonijah, that was directly attributed to the fact that David did not discipline. Verse 6 goes on to tell us his father had never rebuked him by asking, "Why do you behave as you do?" An interesting follow-up to that, he was very handsome and was born next after Absalom. Interesting follow-up to that. There was a long-standing feud among two other brothers, Amnon and Absalom, that was a result of sin and ended up in both being killed. This conflict drew more of David's family, the nobles, the army, brought down the whole nation, right, with civil war. Later on, David would reflect in Psalm chapter 32, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." He acknowledged his sin before God. And David wasn't the only godly man with ungodly sons. You remember Eli, the high priest, the Most High, had wicked sons. And it was very clearly why they were this way. It says he never restrained them. Eli didn't punish his children for any wrongdoing. He let them do whatever they will. And I think the temptation for us as parents is we want our children to be happy. We don't want them to be sad. We don't want them to be upset with us. But children need correction. Discipline is so, so important. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 tells us, or Proverbs 19, verse 18 tells us, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." 13:24 also tells us, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who disciplines him promptly." Those aren't my words. Those are God's words. You hate your son if you do not discipline him, if you do not punish him when he is in need of punishment. You know, when we talk about discipline, it means a lot to a lot of different people. People have their own ways of using discipline. And in this country, corporal punishment is frowned upon. It's looked down upon significantly. I invite you to go through, time won't allow us, but through the book of Proverbs, and just notice how much is talked about the need to spank, and if used properly. First of all, it demonstrates true love, and there's so many passages that talks about the need for this kind of discipline. The example of God disciplines his children. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. People have a hard time combining the ideas of punishment and love in the same sentence. And as a whole, our society continues to struggle, and we continue to have issues over, I believe, this very, very topic. So that's all I've got to say. I know it's enough. Seven things to keep in mind tonight, a message to our fathers. Oh, by the way, personally, I'm still a dad. I know, you know, I don't want you to think that I've got it all figured out and I'm an expert or anything. I'm still a dad, and so I don't know any super dads here. I'm not a super dad. Don't ever think you're a super dad, because we're all human. We're all frail. We all need God's help, but we can do the will of God with God's help, can we not? All of us, when we think about, you know, think about our children, think about Luke chapter 11 and God's love for his children. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will we give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will we give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to ask those that ask him? So, going back to our examination of David, he certainly was mortal. He had flaws, he had weaknesses, but God, I want to remind you, God called him a man after his own heart. David demonstrated the humbleness that he was known for, being repentant to God. In his final words near the end of his life, he said, "He that ruleth over man must be just, ruling in the fear of God." And although David sinned, he had a reverential fear for God rooted in love, and he was truly a man after God's own heart. We should never doubt God's love for us. No matter how deep our flaws, how serious are our sins, God will never forsake us. He may allow us to experience the consequences of our sins, just as he did with David, but God will never withdraw his love or fail us in any way. So we're going to be singing a song, "I Am Resolved." And I want you to think tonight, are you resolved? I want to be resolved to be a godly father. I want to be the best father that I can be while my kids are young, or maybe my kids are older. I want to be the best example that I can be. And you can do that tonight by being a Christian if you're not a Christian. If there's anything we can do to help you, if you're a child of God, we can pray with you. We're certainly here. Everyone's here to encourage you and to support you in any way that you might need.